Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk. Here are your hosts, Oswin and Lord Knight. Today's topic is going to be witchcraft on a budget.
Okay.
Now, you've been hearing some people talk about this, and you wanted to put your two cents in on this.
The problem is now I suddenly see people wanting to do this where we'd been mentioning it before. That, you know, that some of the stuff that people want us to spend money and stuff on is kind of expensive. But now, all of a sudden, it's, I've been seeing videos pop up like crazy about doing witchcraft on a budget all of a sudden. Where just less than 6 months ago, you didn't hear a word.
Right.
You with me on that? I'm more curious, why?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, it could be because, you know, the economy's the way it is.
No, I think it's funny that, you know, me and you have been talking about this off and on the podcast. Seriously, being serious. And now all of a sudden other people are doing it. What? Did the economy have to get this bad before you realized you needed to start doing things on a budget?
Well, I don't know. And the ones that I see doing it are the younger generations. And I guess they're finding that witchcraft can be a little on the expensive side.
Yeah.
There are options that we've been trying to like teach our students for years. There are options to make it cheaper, to make it more affordable.
Well, not only that, but like Lady Keegan.
Yeah.
All right. When she was doing her herbalist class. And one of the things me and her kept on going around and around about it was frankincense.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on saying, why in the world do we use frankincense when we can use the resin from pine trees to do the same thing? It's a wonderful substitute, and you can get it free out of your yard.
Right.
And what she went through the process of making it into a resin. And she thinks that now she thinks it's the most wonderfulest thing in the world. Why aren't these herbalists going to their backyard? Why aren't they going to places down the road to harvest like we used to in the old days? Being a witch on a budget is a normal state of being for us.
It should be. Well, I mean, it should be for everybody.
You with me on that?
If we got back to the basics of what witchcraft was based on.
Right.
If we look back at Salem.
It's what you had access around you.
What you had access to, yeah.
Around you, not...
You grew stuff in your gardens. You used that for your witchcraft.
Well, again, we're in the United States, and you got to remember, like, dandelion is a foreign species.
Yes.
But yet, the medicinal purposes of dandelion is freaking crazy, but we don't use it anymore.
Right, but it's a weed. It grows everywhere.
It grows everywhere. You can...
It's all over the place.
You know, I'm sure your neighbors will be... Oh, wait a minute. No, they're digging up the dandelion. No, go ahead.
I don't know what you're doing, but get them out of here.
Get them out of here. There's my question is we've been talking about this, making your own stuff, doing it yourself,
mm-hmm.
that we need to be a religion or a type of society in the pagan community where we're back to nature.
Right.
Where every pagan family is homesteading and growing their own food and getting back to that connection of nature.
Right.
So now it's suddenly a good idea because it's too fucking expensive for people?
I guess. Maybe it took COVID to get people to realize, hey, there's other ways of doing stuff.
And to feel that connection. There's a difference between, you know, sitting down and eating a dinner and eating something that you've caught and done yourself.
Right.
Growing up, we did the fish fries, you know, where me and my brother-in-laws all go down and fish forever and catch catfish like crazy. Once we get them, excuse me, I'm going to be Southern here. Once we get a mess of catfish up,
mm-hmm.
we then fry them up and get some.
And
it's a wonderful little time. But normally at these fish fries, very little comes from the store.
Right. Most everything was homemade.
Homemade from scratch as much as possible.
Right.
You know, that's like doing those, the boars, but you're doing them in the fire pits.
Yes.
Under, you're burying them underground.
Yes.
Again, same concept.
Yeah, the pig roasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
People probably are like thinking, like, what are they talking about?
Oh, but God, no, they're no. They're sitting back going, no. Now they're too Southern for us. All right, it brings a whole new meaning to the pigs of Pride Dairy once you had one from a damn pit. But again, is it cheap or is it the connection to nature?
Well, I think it should be the connection to nature.
I'm with you. I'm like
I think
that.
It being cheap or being affordable or frugal or however you want to put it is a bonus. It's an added benefit to it. So,
I mean, there's a big difference buying a piglet, raising it and bringing it up and then sending it off to be slaughtered and you bringing back a bunch of meat.
Right.
You know, I mean, again, what value do you put on your time, your effort, and all this, and not only just feeding the animal, but tending to it and taking care of its needs every day?
Well, I mean, if you're doing something like that, you got to look at how much meat you're going to get, a ton of meat off of that animal.
Well, you think about it like
that. And it's going to be enough to feed a family for months.
Well, you think about it like this. We're spending how much on corn? Just to make sure that deers are raised in our yard so I can use a bullet that costs less than a dollar to take it down.
Right.
In which you get, what, two or three deer. You got more than enough meat to last you all winter that you don't have to buy.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you might get tired of venison after a while, but
huh?
Still.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Is there such a thing?
There is no such thing as too much venison.
There's something about that. There's something about that connection.
Yeah, I agree.
I would encourage every pagan to try it at least for a year. If you can do a commune or something like that where you go in there and work with the people and hunt up your own food, and do it at least for a year. Otherwise, no, you need to be doing this homesteading. You need to learn how to do this stuff from scratch.
Well, I think it would be ideal, but you know, not everybody lives in an area where you can do that or where something like that might be available.
Well, at least as much as you can.
But I think even if you live in the city, I still think there's ways that you can get back to more of that natural connection.
Right.
That connection with nature, if you will. There's ways that you can do that. I mean, they have windowsill gardens. They have,
you know, yeah, where you get that, what, indirect shade?
Yes. You know, you can grow a few things and use that in your cooking and
right
making your own incenses and stuff. You can do all of that.
You know, and again, what's wrong with learning what's in your backyard, using those things?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Scott Cunningham books on herbalism and all that, they're decent books. I'm not knocking them. All right? I mean, yes, they're low-level books, but... Yeah. When you start going into your backyard, Lord Mann used to tell me all the time that, you know, all the mysteries of the universe can be found in a single blade of grass.
Right.
And I sort of believe him on this. I mean, because think about it this way. Grass, it grows just for grazing.
Mm-hmm.
Or herbivores just to come along and chomp it up so it can keep on growing.
Right.
It's fit its growth cycle to match the animal to encourage it, just like flowers and everything else.
Right.
How in the world does humanity improve upon nature?
I don't think you can.
And how in the hell do you put a price tag on that?
If you have that connection, that there's nothing that compares to that.
No.
Going outside and just sitting in your backyard, feeling the breeze, hearing the birds, watching the squirrels, getting that, I don't know, just that natural energy.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
And I'm sorry, this is so much better to me than all the gathers. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the gathers we went to. We had fun and stuff like that.
But yeah.
The feeling I have from that lasts longer than just going to wasting that money to go to a gather.
Right.
Again, yes, I would probably waste the money because I like them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time.
You know, as long as it's done like the way we're used to them. I mean, the ones with other class. Never mind. But, I mean, does that make sense to you? What I'm saying there, that connection. We got freaking tomato plants going, and I'm like sitting here telling you every day, ooh, ooh, we got blooms. We got blooms. We got blooms. Right.
So, I mean, again, there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like
it. If you can get your hands in some dirt, go for it.
Well, see, now, Lord Mann also told me, and I got to relook up the research on this, mm-hmm. that there was an organization that was doing that where you would come out there and work in the dirt and stuff like that, but it was to get people off of high blood pressure medicine.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the article, but I'd have to look it back up. But there was an article that actually doing the gardening and stuff actually got some people off their high blood pressure medicine. Something about doing that seems to lower our blood pressure.
That, and I think it also had something to do, well, helped those with depression.
Yes.
I believe that was part of the study, or if it wasn't, I think it's something they discovered along while they were doing the study.
Well, again, the idea there on the occult side of this is that you placing your hands in the ground is like making that ground-earth connection.
Right.
And you're grounding yourself out, and it's pulling all those negative energies away from you into the ground.
Yes.
Into the earth itself. And it's really a beautiful way of doing it, but I think you get a little bit of feedback from earth, too.
I think so. I was going to say, I think it's kind of like an outlet of sorts.
Yeah.
Because it's...
you got that AC outlet, and the energy goes back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a give and take.
Exactly.
It's enough to get you grounded, but it's enough to give you a little bit of energy in the back turn.
Yeah, especially if you're depressed.
Right.
So to sit there and work and actually get your hands in... It's weird because the way he described it was, it kept on talking about you had to actually get your hands in the dirt.
Yes.
And it couldn't just be, you know, you watering plants and stuff like that. But yeah, it was...
Oh, no. Go and get your hands dirty.
He's getting your hands dirty.
Don't use them garden gloves. Throw them things in the trash. Get your hands dirty. So I've got a question for you.
I got an answer for you.
I hope so.
It's blue. Orange? 52.
Wrong answer.
42.
Wrong answer.
No, 42.
It's the secret of life, right?
Yep. 42.
So the question today is, why do people think that all witches are superstitious?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of TV shows and mm-hmm. cartoons and stuff and read a lot of books, and there seems to be this idea that witchcraft is anti-science, anti-technology, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I see that a lot, and I think it starts off because we have not learned how to secure electronics enough in our households to survive around circles.
Okay.
I believe that the psychic energies that we build up in circle and all that seems to affect electronics.
Okay, so you think that plays into us being superstitious about certain things?
I think it plays in on people perceiving us as superstitious.
Okay.
Or anti-science or anti-technology.
And are we talking superstition as in like black cat superstitious?
Oh, yeah, that too.
Walking under ladders.
Well, I don't think we do this. We don't worry about crossing a black cat's.
I think, well, no, I know we don't.
Well, I did.
But I can see where some people might, because of our use of salt, how that might come across as superstitious.
I can't say nothing. I do superstitious stuff all the time. I was raised on the whole entire idea, if your palm itches, that means you're about to get money.
Right.
If you scratch it, you're going to scratch away the money. So instead, you're supposed to rub.
Right.
You're supposed to rub the bunny into your hand. To get rid of the itch. You know, I mean, there's some superstitions. I sort of see where in the world they came from.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole entire thing of if you leave your cabinet doors open, people are going to gossip about you. because at one particular time and instance, people were not that poor. And I'm sorry, if you had a nice dish set or something like that sitting out, yes, people are going to gossip about you. You leaving your pantry doors open was seen as a form of bragging.
Right.
So I can understand where certain, but I don't see why in the world it's always linked to craft.
See, I don't either.
I don't understand it. It drives me up the wall because most of the witches I know aren't superstition and are really, really scientific.
Right.
Our apothecaries are sitting there looking at you going, no, there are these compounds in these plants that help, that heal. We don't have to do anything but mix them up correctly and every time and it works.
Right. And we stay away from others because, well, they'll kill you.
They'll kill. Well, well, if they're not processed right and all this could kill you.
Right.
Because there are times when we can use poisons to cure ourselves. Yes. But it has to be.
It has to be precise.
It has to be very precise in doing this.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of like using nightshade or monk's hood in a cream for arthritis.
Right.
Technically, it's a poison and you're seeping it through your skin. There are scientific reasons behind this, but again, I see a lot of people that seem to think that witches don't believe in this, you know, that we're against this. Where on the other hand, and again, not picking on anybody, but I see Christians being more anti-science and more superstitious.
Well, I do see...
I could be wrong on that.
I do see where you get that. But I know,
I mean, well, again,
I personally know a lot of Christians who are not anti-science.
But how many of them, the Furby, when Furbies came out? And the
okay, so you're lumping technology in with science.
Right. Technology, science, again, it's all the same thing. But again, you see a lot of these Christians, we don't know about this technology. Again, I don't have a problem with their hesitance. Right. I really don't. I like their hesitance because especially with AI and stuff going on, I like proceeding with wisdom, not knowledge.
No. Okay. But could our quote unquote superstitious activities really be application of wisdom?
It might be. Because, again, like I said, there's a lot of these superstitions that actually have to do more with people's behavior.
Right.
And letting people know, hey, you know what? Yeah, you leave your cabinet doors open like you're bragging and wanting the world. Yes, people are going to talk about you.
Or if you don't have a lot and you got your cabinet doors so, open, people are going to say.
People are going to talk about you.
Yeah.
So, again, when you have superstitions that are linked to people's the way they do things and why they do things.
Right.
It's less of a superstition and more of a knowledge of, yeah, people have funky ideas and do things that not always make sense.
Right.
Because they're following their logic, not yours.
But I think that pretty well sums it up.
Yeah. But again, like I said, I keep on seeing, especially people not in the community,
mm-hmm.
when I run across people of other faiths, Christians and stuff like that, the conversation always seems to, at some point or another, lead to the fact that they seem to think that we are anti-science, anti-technology, 100% and all we have to follow all these superstitious things, not walk under ladders, and because there's such a stigma of, well, to follow craft, one must not be very educated.
Well, I think in some ways that may be it, but I think it could also just have to do with a lack of understanding about what it is we do.
I agree with you there. It is a lack of understanding, but I hear this a lot from other communities outside of ours.
Right, but I'm just saying, I think that comes from a lack of understanding because I think they all have a misconception about what it is we do. And, you know, and who we are as witches because of Hollywood
and
fiction stories and all this other stuff. And I think that they look at some of that. And because it is, like you said earlier, because we do believe, I believe you said it earlier, because we believe in the ethereal, we believe in the...
Because we believe in magic. We believe...
Right, that therefore... we are superstitious.
Right. In which we have certain scientific concepts that we learn and stuff like that, that we believe allows us to do this.
Right.
I didn't say it does or does. I'm just saying we believe that's it what does.
Yeah.
All right. In other words, some of the stuff, no, nobody can prove. And yes, when you're literally looking at it, some of it sounds like, you know, some fringe science stuff going on there.
Right.
All right. And again, fringe science is just science we don't understand yet, because at some point, all the science we know now was fringe.
Right.
I know that might be hard for people to understand. At one point, the concept of using electricity was a fringe scientific wonder.
Right.
It was just this.
It was, you're crazy for even thinking this was possible.
But originally it was treated more as a novelty.
Right.
Than anything else.
But I think that some people, like I just said, I think some people were like, "Do what? No, you're crazy for thinking that's even possible."
Right. I mean, it's like the whole entire, it's like the problem with that I've seen over the years with the whole Egyptian, and then people over here and other people are saying like, "No, the pyramids were built this long ago, and here's the proof and the water and."
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but yet. The official Egyptian people are like, no, 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 no. This is when it is.
Right.
All right. Again, those fringe science stuff, at one point, all of this was that way.
All right. Science. Things like carbon dating, all of that was fringe science. I mean.
Fingerprinting. We were able to do fingerprinting for years, and it took forever for the court system to finally realize, okay, this person has a unique print on their finger. We found it here at this crime scene.
Right.
This puts you here.
Again, it was all fringe science at one point.
Right. So why isn't magic just considered fringed for right now? I mean, it is, but it's not. To me, it's just science we haven't figured out yet.
Right. I think for those of us in witchcraft, well, I don't know if we all see it that way or if the majority of us see it that way, but I think we can see it as fringe science. But for everybody else, we're just kooks.
Yeah. We're just wackadoodle.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's a technical term. Wackadoodle.
I think it is. Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media. Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks.